That was an awesome trip, and that brought back great memories. I want to invite the team that went up to Ukraine and Mexico to come forward as we celebrate Mission Sunday. And come on forward, guys. And yes, thank you, Grace Point, for sending us there. We're going to do things a little bit differently. We're going to hear some stories this morning, and then we're going to talk about God's great big plan this morning. So come on forward, find a seat, sit on somebody's lap if you don't. You can have a seat, yeah. All right. So we just saw Chris slideshow from Mexico.
I just want to say I am really impressed that we guessed the right number of chairs. That was totally
incredible.
That's already a win.
We should be on America's Got Talent
That's already a win.
Just figure it out.
Greg's dismissing children. I mean, there's lots of unusual things happening here.
Yes, absolutely. This is awesome. You can see a variety of ages and life experience and so forth. So just want to ask, you know, for those of you who went to Mexico, and I'm going to start with Donna here. Donna, can you just, there she is, since you've already been talking, can you talk to us briefly about what was the impact on you during the trip?
If I can sum it up in a word, joy. Pure joy. Joy with the team. Look at the age span, the generations, the enthusiasm. Joy with how we encountered the families in Mexico. Joy with how when Shauna and Rod brought us to the house builds that they've done over the past now 8 years, hey? All right. We would go and visit these other families. And you could see the look of joy. They have not forgotten us. We are God's children. They remember us. This is not an empty promise. We continue to go back, and it's such a privilege to be able to say, I went on the Mexico mission, and I encourage all of you, if you can make it, do your best to try to go. So, pure joy.
Great. That's a good word, Chris.
Pure joy, yeah. And we have a couple members of the Ukraine team. There was five of us that went on that particular trip. And so what we're going to do this morning is we're going to go back and forth and just hear some of the stories and celebrate what's happened. And so I don't know which one of you is going to share. Oh, Megan's going first. So she seems surprised. All right. You're going to tell us a little bit about where you saw God at work on the trip.
Sure. Hello, everybody. Yeah, I guess one of the stories that stands out to me about where we saw God at work on the trip was with a man named Losha. We went down to, well, we were in Ukraine, and we were serving in a family camp through God's Family Church. Oh, Ben. And, yeah, when they came to camp, Losha's family, Losha came into camp, and he was extremely drunk and just not in the right frame of mind. And one thing I noticed is just like the love and care that was put into him. And he came into camp so hard in the week and just didn't want to be a part of anything. And him and his wife would sit at like opposite sides during dinner and worship. And yeah, it was just kind of really a privilege to witness the love and care that went into him. And another man that was down there as well ended up, he spoke prophetic words over Losha, and just really cool seeing him soften throughout the week. And yeah, this man was just very harsh and shut off at the beginning of the week. And by the end of the week, like Ben was dumping buckets of water over him, and he was totally engaging and in worship, and just a true softening that I feel like only God could do in him. And yeah, it was really cool. Just even after camp, we ended up running into him outside of a restaurant, and he was so happy to see all of us and was hugging all of us, which just in Ukrainian culture is just, it's not, you just don't do that. And he was just so happy to see us. And just, yeah, that was just really a privilege to witness and see.
Wow, that's awesome. So joy, happiness, breakthroughs. Vel, I know you talked a little bit a couple of Sundays ago here about what happened after the trip. But what was there something that happened during the trip for you?
Sorry, I thought you said Bill. Oh.
There's no Bill.
Why
here.
I gave you that look. Sorry, I was caught up in the name. What did you ask me?
Yes.
the impact of the trip. Do you want me to repeat it in Punjabi? The impact of the trip while you were in Mexico. While you were there on the ground.
While we were on the trip. Faith. Definitely faith. There was hurdles to get there. And we did get there. And a lot of praying through Grace Point. Our getting there, on the way there, we had nervous tummies to go through the border. Are we going to make it through? Will the border patrol think of something to pull us over for? Will this pull us back? We were nervous. We sailed right through. Getting there, getting to know the families and doing the work we were intended to by God was just, it was amazing. However, it was faith that kept us going. Things would keep coming up. At one point, we had mixed passports, but God prevailed. We had no problem with flights. We made it. We made it there, and we made it back. We had times, you travel and you think you've got your cash, your passports, you've got your ATM cards, your credit cards. Nothing's going to go wrong. But it does. It's technology. We got stuck at a point where there was we couldn't pay because the ATM card didn't work. Again, God worked. We had faith. We pulled together and it worked. We paid. When we were there, working with the families and the children, I was humbled. Just humbled and brought to my knees and reminded of how God works through us. We all have our ups and we have our downs and we've got the roller coasters, but the families in Mexico, they just smiled graciously. They didn't share how they live or how sad they are or the hurt that they have, but they just smiled, and it reminded us of how fortunate we are. Philippians 4:19, God will provide, was a passage where it just kept reminding me over and over that no matter what, you just have to keep faith, and He's going to provide. Romans 4:20 was another one that just assured me that, don't worry, don't give up, just keep going. We can't control situations, even though the situation tries to control us, but getting together and with the families, just praying through it, is going to get us through everything. Faith.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. And it's interesting, I mean, I don't know if you've picked this up, I mean, I've been to both these locations, so I kind of experienced it firsthand, but like even going into these two different cultures, you have one culture where it's very, there's a warmth, lots of smiles, and then you have another culture in Ukraine where it's a little bit different than that. It'd be less smiles. It takes a while for people to warm up to you. And so you never really know what you're going into, what you're going to experience. So why don't one of you ladies, or both of you, tell us a little bit about some of the personal impact just of your trip there?
I was prepped so much for a very cold culture, like over-prepped for a cold culture, and then that wasn't my experience at all. And from the moment I landed in Ukraine, it was just warmth, and these people were so accepting and excited to have us there, and I think that speaks a lot to the people who had visited there before, Megan and Chris, and actually our whole team, aside from myself, had been there, and they'd already started to form these relationships with these people. And so I was really impacted by two of the girls specifically that were there, Katya and Alona. They're about the same age, and they are so influential in their church and the way they lead and the way they come together to support their church, to support the kids in their church, everyone there. It was really inspiring to me to see how they did that, and the way we were able to pour into each other as well was really quite moving. It's so interesting. They live in a culture that is very, very different than ours. They live with a war going on 100 kilometers one way, and they don't let that affect their lives at all. They just continue to live life to their fullest. And we live here, and we have so many great things going for us. And sometimes we get bogged down in that, but we're still able to connect. And at the heart of who we are, we're still the same people. And that was, yeah, like girls will be girls, boys will be boys, and we sit there and we have this conversation that I could have had with any of my friends here, and I think that was a really encouraging part for me.
Thanks, Leah.
Great. So as you see, you know, while we're on these trips, we experience things, we experience the culture, and then at times things start happening inside of us, just as you just mentioned. You know, we start reflecting, we start getting a bigger picture of our lives. And Lloyd, I'm wondering if I can come to you and if you can talk about just some of the personal impact, wrestling, spiritual challenge that you went through on the trip.
I guess the biggest impact was when I came home and I spent some time journaling and thinking about the trip and what it meant. And I actually wrote a short essay about what I was thinking and how being sort of piled higher and deeper and Bible college and things that I could hang my hat on and what that looked like. Anyways, I wrote Steve a short essay and shared it with him, and I was going to share that today, but I'm not going to. The one thing that I can say that impacted me the most was bringing my son Noah, and just how much joy that was generated in my heart about watching my son participate in what God loves. And for me, that was the one of the most impactful things.
Thank you, Lloyd. That is an amazing thing to do, to model to your child the importance of joining God on mission. And so just wrapping up here, let's think about coming back. You know, we've been there. There's been some changes going on. Wondering if someone would like to share about sort of the lasting impact that's happened as a result of the trip. Something you're doing differently, something you're thinking differently, something that you're engaging in. Who'd like to share on that? Some ways that your life has changed since then. All right. There. Okay, great. We'll have great. Yes.
Patience. With the different age groups that we went through, and we're in a fast-paced, changing world, I certainly have learned patience on my day-to-day work and my personal life and my work life. Learned that right away with this team that we went. We used laughing as a coping mechanism. Whether we agreed, whether we didn't agree, there was all sorts of things that came up, and we just laughed it over together, not at each other. And I think that that was one thing that I'm still actually learning, and this week has proven at work. Because I just keep thinking of this trip, and God's taught me a lot of patience, because we are in a world that's going to keep changing, and it's going to keep bringing hurdles, and it's going to keep bringing things that are not in our control. Yeah, so thanks, team.
Great. And Chris, as you know, that's actually a fruit of the Spirit, patience.
For sure. Yeah, so I mean, we don't want to just go on missions trips and then kind of like mission tourism and then go, oh, sweet, that was great. But it's always about what's God doing in our lives. And so want to hear from the Ukraine team, what's something since you've been back, what has God shifted in your life? What's different?
For myself personally, I think I was super thankful for just the team unity that we had going down there, and just, yeah, as my first time leading a team, just, yeah, super thankful of the team unity. And one thing I noticed in Ukraine, both times I've been, is just how well they live missionally together and what that looks like in their church, and you can see it just spending an afternoon with them. So I think that's one thing that I've taken away from Ukraine, is just how do I live missionally in my everyday life, and how do I, yeah, like just everything I do, I just want it to be God-centered and, yeah, surrender everything to God. So I think that's something that I've definitely taken away from Ukraine.
For me, I, shortly after I graduated high school, had the opportunity to spend some time with YWAM, and that was an incredible year, and it really shaped a lot of what came after in my life. Well, that was 5 years ago, and you get here, and things kind of just return to normal, and you start to lose some of that. And then going back to Ukraine this summer, I was reminded and retaught a lot of those lessons that I had learned back then. And so since coming home, it's so much easier to go back to those things, because it was that like reignition, that re-sparking of those things I had learned. So like following what God is calling me to do, when he asks me to step out in faith, when he is like, hey, I need you to go talk to this person, or hey, maybe you should tell this person like an encouragement word or encouraging word. All those things were things I had learned a long time ago, and then I just kind of forgotten about, and so this trip kind of reminded me of them.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for you guys being willing to come up here and being obedient to God and going and being obedient to me and Steve and willing to come up on stage and share, because I know not everybody likes to do that. There's a lot more stories we could tell, and we've decided that we're going to keep it a little bit shorter in terms of stories today, because we want to talk a little bit more. What does it mean to live a lifestyle of mission? Our goal is to do a podcast where you can listen to a few more of those stories. You already got one in the works with Ukraine and plan to do that with Mexico, so maybe that's a great place, Lloyd, where you can kind of share that longer version of the story. So we'll keep you updated as to when that's going to happen. We are going to give these guys a hand. And then allow them to give you guys a hand for your support, the prayers and everything. This is a team that goes, but it's really on behalf of all of Grace Point. And I know, you know, even being on the Ukraine trip, we remarked a number of times how, wow, we really felt the prayers of our church family, and we would send out updates and hear back and be like, oh, we're praying for you. And like that buoyed us throughout the week. So we're just so grateful to be part of a community that sent us. So, we're going to let you guys sit down. We're going to see a slideshow from the Ukraine, and then Steve and I are going to come back up and chat a little bit more.
Well, so what? I mean, they went. Maybe they had no better summer plans. You know, nothing else going on. Maybe people gave them money. That's why they went to Ukraine or Mexico, right? I mean, whippy, what has that got to do with the big scope of things? I want to talk about vision and significance. I've heard some really good visions. I know some visions that some of us live by. Like, I was watching the NASA channel, and they were talking about, like, get this, not Ukraine, not, you know, like, Africa or Muslims in North Surrey that we do, or community dinner, any of that. They were actually talking about going back to the moon by 2024, and this time just staying there. And then they would build a base, okay? They would habitate that place to launch a manned mission to Mars and beyond. Do you get that? That is so big in vision. I mean, wouldn't you want to be part of that? Just think, it could all be like Star Trek and Star Wars, right? Wouldn't you want to give your life to a vision like that? Or what about the vision you already live? Right? That vision where you go, yeah, I just want to keep ahead of my bills and make sure that I have money for my retirement. I mean, what's wrong with that? You know, it's a vision about me and comfort and nothing wrong with that. And, you know, it's, well, it's about me and, you know, and, well, yeah. So there's all kinds of visions that are going on. And whether you believe it or not, or whether you're cynical, these people answered the call to a great vision, a great grand story, an amazing narrative. They jumped into it because they heard God call them into it. It's a different kind of vision than those other visions. Again, I'm not against space travel and everything like that, and I'm not against us having some comfort, nothing like that. But what these people were responding to was God's call to be part of a grand narrative. You see, Jesus declared that even outside of creation, God is always at work. In fact, in John 5:17, Jesus stated, "My Father is always working. So am I." So what are they working at? What are they doing? And I'd like to say to you that God is on a mission of love.
God is love. And love acts. And God's love gives us what we most lack. Divine love. True purpose. Significance beyond us. The ability to make a difference in somebody's life. To be personally transformed. And that's what happened here. These people went on a vision and became part of that story. And I know for myself, like one of the things that changed for me, like on my phone, is still the picture of Romero and Liliana and their three daughters. And how the church came together and loved a guy that was on drugs, in addiction, and loved him. And then not only blessed him with a house, but will continue to be there. They changed his trajectory and the trajectory of his relationship with that woman and their children. And I would love to be part of things like that. See, that's the kind of story God is calling us into. To truly be significant. To live out of ourselves and make a difference. And you can see it like railroad tracks from Genesis to Revelation. That God not only worked in creation, but that he continues to work with all of his creation. Restoring them from the self-inflicted decay that they will have. Our first parents, as the Bible points out, decided, God, we want to live independently from you. We want to listen to other voices. And they did that. And they shot themselves in the foot. And then in humanity's way to come back to God and find out what they really missed, they often have false gods, misguided priorities, very alluring, but they all leave humans empty. But God loves. He loves. And we see that God is at work, inviting humans back into experiencing life with him. And the wonderful thing is that on this mission of love, God doesn't keep it to himself. He invites us into it. I mean, I said from Genesis to Revelation. So let's begin in Genesis with a man. And in Genesis 12, we read this. And the Lord had said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to a land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous. I mean, we're saying his name today, aren't we? And you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All of the families on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram trusted this voice that he heard and said, okay, I will change my priorities. I will leave those things that are really important to me. I will go with you. I don't know exactly where I'm going, but I will go with you. And as he went, he had some difficulties along the way, of course. There was famine and so forth. But he continued to listen to God because he believed God. He trusted that God had a better plan for his life as he joined God in mission. And God used this one man and he said, listen, I'm going to begin something new. I'm going to begin a whole new nation, and you're going to be the father of that nation. And not only are you going to be a blessing to those people, because we're going to start this human project over again, but that nation, called, which would later be called Israel, that nation exists to be a blessing to the whole world. So the mission was really universal. And 1,000 years later, Israel still realized that they didn't just exist for themselves to be God's people. To be God's people meant to be committed for the good of the world. And so we read in Psalm 86:9, all the nations you made will come and bow before you, Lord. They will praise your holy name. And this is what Israel, deep down at its core, believed its purpose was. That was over 1,000 years later that was written. And then a few hundred years later, in Isaiah 49:6, God reminded Israel again, I will make you a light to the Gentiles. You will bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. This is hundreds of years before Jesus comes. He says, that's your purpose. You get to share with me in spreading love and in redeeming humanity. And that was their mission. Now, interesting enough, the early church believers, the first believers who were Jews, understood that. And in Acts 13:47, the Jewish apostles are recorded as saying that the mission of the church, and they were Jewish, is not only to Jews, but it's to the whole world. Jesus had talked about that, going to all the world. That was their mission. And so they said, hey, that's really our mission, right? Our mission as the people of God is to be for the world because it needs us. And so the church was created, like Israel, to experience God, to delight in Him and His benefits, and join Him in His mission of love. But because Israel failed to make God known and rather drifted from His call and became about themselves, it is there where Peter then realized, and as he says, as he writes in 1 Peter 2:9, speaking about to the believers, you are a chosen people. Now, who were the chosen people originally, right? It was Israel. But now he speaks to the believers and he says, you are a chosen people. Makes me think about God's call of Abraham. You are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for He called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. So I want to wrap up with a couple of questions here. Is it so what? I mean, so what? You know, these people went, they had a good time. Is it just that? Or do you see them joining in a great story where God calls them and then through them blesses other people? And while He's blessing other people through them, they themselves get blessed. So as God's person, are you joining God in His redemptive work in the world? Or are you missing out, being focused on secondary priorities? How does one God join God's work of renewal and blessing? We want to talk a little bit about that now.
So I just to kind of summarize what I think I heard you saying, Steve, is we see this whole narrative, this long story, and in it, God's desire has always been to form a people for Himself who would partner with Him in His work to reconcile and restore all of creation. And throughout the Old Testament, we see how people continually, you know, mess that up. And that, even in the New Testament, we see examples of that. And actually, ultimately, what we learn from books like 1 Peter and that story is that God's people will actually not be defined by either their, you know, culture or their, you know, being part of Israel or this, that the true Israel will be defined by a people who will be obedient to God's vision to join Him and participate. And so we're still a part of that grand story, that opportunity to be a part of God's story. It's not just about believing the right doctrine or the right dogma, but it's actually about being a people who are God's special possession that He partners with in the world. And that's a part of what we are talking about today when we talk about going on missions trip. And we would never want to give out the sense that we're talking like missions trips are like these bad things, and because obviously we continue to do them every year, and missions trips have a lot of value. And I would say there's kind of five things that I, as I listen to people's stories and I've gone on trips myself, you know, one of the things is, first and foremost, why go on a mission trip? It's about obedience to God. If God's calling us to go somewhere, we want to be a people who hear God's voice and do what He says, just like Abraham heard God's voice and he obeyed. So God calls and we want to be a people that go. It's an opportunity to see that God works around the world, not in exactly the same ways, but in a mysterious way, very similarly, like going to Ukraine and you realize, wow, these people are doing things very similar to what we're doing. We're part of this large family. And it's just like in the Old Testament, you know, Israel was cast from their land and they kind of thought, oh, God's only here. And then they end up in Babylon and they discover something really profound. God's at work. even in Babylon. And so God's at work, whether we're involved in it or not, God is always at work. Another reason, it's an opportunity to experience God more deeply. When we join God on a missions trip, I like to think of it as kind of a thin place where the gap between God's space and ours is a little bit thinner, and it can actually be easier to hear from God. I know for myself, when we were on our trip, I felt like, you know, in the morning when I was doing devotions, it was like I was getting downloads every day. I was like, wow, like I can really hear God's voice in a really clear way. And that's something unique that I think sometimes happens when we step into these spaces and join God, this opportunity to hear God in a fresh way. It's an opportunity to move outside our comfort zones. You know, our team was reflecting one day and we kind of came with the sentiment, it's really easy to be uncomfortable when you're on a missions trip. And it's really easy to be comfortable when you're at home. Like, when you're in a culture where you don't totally understand the language, pretty much every situation you're in, you're like, I don't know what's going on. And it's uncomfortable. And you want to say things and you're like, have one word. You're like, Privyet! How many times can I say hello? I don't know. But, you know, they're smiling, so that's good. So it's easy to be uncomfortable in a missions trip, and it's really easy to be comfortable here, and we can easily go to it. There's just so many distractions here, and so moving and going on a missions trip, going outside our culture, gives us an opportunity to actually kind of look back at what our life's like in our own culture and go, oh yeah, I often choose comfort over discomfort. And the fifth thing is, it's an opportunity for a shift. Leaving our context invites and it allows us to reflect back on our own context a little bit differently. You know, just staying outside of our culture. Sometimes you're just in the middle of it and you can't really see what it looks like. But then you kind of get outside and you see a different culture and a different context. And you're like, oh, okay. Yeah, that isn't the only way the world works. And God's much bigger than I sometimes imagine in my little bubble that I live in here in Surrey. God moves in really profound ways. And he's moving in Surrey the way he is in Ukraine. I just sometimes forget to see it or forget to listen. I don't know. So it's an opportunity for a shift. It invites us to consider not just what mission looks like when we go, but what it looks like every day, like a lifestyle of mission. It invites us to think about, well, I'm not going to just do mission as like this trip, and then I go, oh, I checked off my mission, okay? No, God, as Steve was saying, invites us to a lifestyle of mission, to participate with him. God is a sending mission God. He is always at work. He's always sending. And so we are invited to join that wherever we are, whether we're going to our work, to our schools, our sports teams, our neighborhoods, whatever that looks like. So we want to say, what is a lifestyle of mission look like? I'd say it builds on many of the principles of a missions trip. So fundamentally, it's about listening to God. We need to be a listening people. Any person that's sent in the Bible is sent first by God. They don't just go with their own accord. They go in Jesus' name because they're a listening people. And so we want to be a listening people. We want to listen for God's voice, hear and do. We need to be a people that pay attention. Pay attention to where God is already at work. Like sometimes, you know, you can just get in your rhythm and you kind of lose sight of what's actually going on. And we sometimes just need to stop, slow down, and even there's prayers that invite us to greater, like they're called centering prayers. They invite us to slow down and think, hey, where was God at work in my day today? And so paying attention to where God's already at work is about living a lifestyle mission. And this big one, it's being ready to move outside of our comfort zones. That's big, actually. And if we're going to be, you know, joining God, we're going to have to get uncomfortable. And that's hard for me. That's hard for Steve. That's hard for everybody. Like, everybody struggles with this, but we just got to be really honest that if we're going to join God, we're going to have to step into some uncomfortable spaces. And I've often found repeatedly that when I step into something that's uncomfortable, that's some of the most profoundly impactful times of my life where God really shows up. And most of the stories I actually hear from people where God, they're like, whoa, God showed up. It's like, they were in some place really uncomfortable and they felt totally out of control, and then God broke into that reality. But when we kind of keep in control and stay in our comforts, then it's a little bit easier for us to kind of miss where God's at work.
Chris, if I can just share a quick story on that. So we've been ministering to some Muslims in North Surrey, and through our discoveries ministering there, we ran into
a couple of sisters who we realized, okay, they're a little bit different. They're not wearing the hijabs. We've been ministering with them for a couple of years, and turned out they had some Christian background and were building into their lives. And this week, Chris, she phoned me up and she said, "Hey, Steve, can you come to my house at 7? I want you to meet someone who I'd like you to talk to God about." And I said, okay, well, we were planning to go anyways. Well, guess what? She then texts me later, Chris, like, "This is not cool," and says, "Could you come at 10? That person has changed their minds. They've got work." It's like, what? I mean, I get off work. What time do we get off, Chris, right? And so I'm not going at 10, but I went at 10 with my wife. And then what happened was, the person didn't show up at 10. And they started WeChatting about, "I can't be there. I've got to catch the bus." Well, eventually, we finally go and pick her up at the SkyTrain station in Surrey. For the next hour and a half, Harjeet and I both had an opportunity to share our testimony with her and with these girls again. And all of this happened because this girl went with some friends to go talk to an Iranian lawyer. And during the process, she was even part of the proceedings. She just said to the lawyer, "Hey, are you a Christian? I've been thinking a lot about God, and I'm not so sure I really know God. I've been raised to seek, but do you know anybody?" And she was just so persistent with him that he called this one person who we're ministering to, who called us. And now this girl has said, I'd like a Bible. And I like to come to church. I like to change my schedule and come to church." So,
I mean, you guys don't realize how big a sacrifice that is. Every day when Steve goes home, he likes to fill a nice warm bath, put on his Enya, some candles. He sacrificed that. So this is what I'm talking about. Talking about letting go of some of our comforts. One of the themes you'll have heard here, and Steve said it again, is that mission... And this is, if you take away nothing else, I really want you to hear this. Actually, I want you to hear it all, but I really want you to hear this. Mission is not a what. Mission is a who. Okay? It's not a what. It's not about the projects that we go and do. And in a post-Christian context where people say, "Oh, that's so good that you did that," we like to do the projects because people will approve of that. But when we come in the name of Jesus and share the name of Jesus, people aren't going to always approve of that, and that's where it gets uncomfortable. And that's where sometimes we don't like to kind of step out and really be open and bold about sharing our faith. That's why sometimes we can like those projects. And it's not to say that we're not called to participate in acts of restoration or justice, because those are good things, and those are things that God's about too, but it's a both and, right? It's not just one or the other. So living a lifestyle of mission is not primarily about what we do, but rather it's about who God is sending us to. Okay? And so how do we live this on a day-to-day basis? What we're asking about is, how do we pay attention to our who? And we wanted to give kind of just a practical piece, because this can be really complicated. I find this really difficult. Like, honestly, sometimes Steve will come in and he shares a story like that. Like, Steve has stories like that all the time. He's like, "Oh yeah, I was at the gym and then all of a sudden I was talking to this guy about Jesus." And I'm like, "What? How did that happen? That doesn't happen to me." And Steve's got stories like that all the time. And so maybe you relate more to Steve, or maybe you're more like me. You're like, "I don't know, that doesn't happen that often to me." I have to be intentional about really paying attention and really leaning in. And so one of the ways that I've found, and we've talked about that's found it easier, is this something called a Persons of Peace strategy. And if you got a program, if you didn't get one of these, I think there's some more at the back too. It's got this little business card, and it comes out of Luke chapter 10, 5, 7. You can see there's a verse on there, and it says, "When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house." And then it says at the bottom, how to recognize a person of peace. Okay, a person of peace. You're not necessarily called to reach every single person in the world. Actually, you're called to reach the people that God's already prepared in advance for you to reach. Okay? So I find that really freeing, because sometimes I'm like, "Oh, am I supposed to just go stand on a corner and just speak this?" Actually, it's about, like what we talked about, it's about listening to God, it's about hearing his voice, it's about paying attention to where God's already at work. And so you'll know a person of peace because, they probably like you, they probably are willing to listen to you, they're probably willing to serve you in some way, they welcome you. Like, and if you think in your mind, you could probably think, oh yeah, this person's a person of peace to me. And maybe you can think of some people who are like, no, they don't want to hear anything that you have to say. And that person is probably not a person of peace to you, at least at this time. That's not to say they never will be, but at this time, you know, it's kind of, it's about waiting on God and praying and asking God to continue to move. You know, we can see this even modeled in Scripture. Jesus, think about Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a person of peace to Jesus. He climbed up. He was really curious to see Jesus. And Jesus said, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house today. Now, if Zacchaeus said, no way, you're not coming to my house. I'm not associating with you. I might get in trouble. Then he knows, yeah, okay, I'm not going to his house. But Zacchaeus welcomes him in. He serves him dinner, and he's open to Jesus' message, and his life is transformed. Okay? So that's just an example that we see in Scripture. And so we have this card, and on the back, you'll see something called My Persons of Peace. We've made these small because you can just put these in your wallet. And, I mean, Steve, feel free if you want to add anything to this. But, you know, our conviction is that this starts with prayer. Okay? Prayer to help us pay attention to where God's at work. And you might just want to write down some names of people. Maybe it's somebody at work. Maybe it's a neighbor. Maybe it's a relative. But write these names down and just start praying. And it's not, we're not saying, like, leave here today and just go, like, start telling everybody you know about Jesus. I mean, you can do that, too. That's fine. But that's not where, I know for some that's going to be super uncomfortable. And we're just talking about taking a first step. It's a step of prayer about praying for, you know, whoever God puts on your heart, about paying attention to who God has placed on your heart to show his love to.
Yeah, and I think it that is so important. You know, just wherever you are, the coffee shop, wherever you hang out for a while, people will get to know you. And I have to tell you, when you sometimes talk to people who are, you know, so down on religion for many, many good reasons, because sometimes organized religion has done horrible things to people. We have to acknowledge that. And so they see all of that. And of course, you know, we want to be kind of like, yeah, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about Jesus. But if you hang around long enough, whether it's at the gym or the coffee shop or wherever, people start getting to know you slowly over time. It takes a while to, you know, build trust and see that you're okay. And after a while, you know, people realize, they sense you're different. And they get asking you questions, because people do think, and I think if you even ask the a person who's an atheist and far from God, do you ever think about significance? Do you ever think about the purpose of your life? Do you ever think about, you know, why you're here and all that? I can guarantee you that they do. And so everyone is spiritual, except, you know, no one likes the religious, you know, here's this and that. So people are thinking. And the other thing is, as I shared many years ago, God gave me a vision. And I shared this here at the church and wrote about it when we had a church magazine. God said, I'm at work in Surrey. I'm at work in White Rock. I'm reaching people. And I just gave you one example, you know, of somebody who was seeking God and brought us in connection together. So there are people out there, but they don't wear billboards saying, I'm really empty, or I'm going to drugs to cope with, you know, the emptiness in my heart. We see signs everywhere that say people are empty and they're trying to fill a hole only God can fill. And that's why he calls us to go on mission. See, we don't have to. We get to. The Christian life is not about boring meetings. It's not about, you know, dealing with guilt. It's none of that. It's an invitation to life and significance.
And ultimately, this is about good news.
Yes.
If I taste really good ice cream, well, actually, you know, I should use an example. If Gord tastes really good ice cream, he's going to let you know. Gord loves ice cream. So, you know, that's good news, and he'll share it. And this is sometimes I think we've got lost. This isn't about having agendas with people. This is about loving people. But if I truly believe in my heart and soul that Jesus is the best and the reason that, you know, my life is, you know, what it is, then that's worth sharing. Like, Jesus is. And I think about that often. Like, man, where would I be without the love of God, how God has changed the trajectory of my life? Like, I often think, where would I be if God hadn't met me in my story? I have no idea. I'm sure I would be in a very different place. I came across this quote. I want to let this sit with you. And then we're going to give a couple minutes of silence just to ask God if there's a name or two that he wants you to write down. And then Steve's going to wrap us up in kind of a closing sending prayer. But this is a quote. If we find ourselves feeling lackluster about helping people get to know Jesus, we're suffering from a lack of love. either a lack of love for people, we'd rather maintain our pride than risk looking foolish, or a lack of love for Jesus. We really don't think he's worth knowing. I'm just stewing on that a little bit and letting that keep convicting me, because that's a challenging word. And maybe you struggle with both of those. Maybe you struggle with one of those. Or maybe you're all in on them. But that's a challenging quote. So what we're going to do is just invite everyone just to bow your heads for a minute. Just take a few moments of silence. And in a minute, Steve's going to wrap us up in prayer and just send us out as a people invited onto a life of a mission with God. So let's just take a couple minutes of silence.
Lord, we just come before you, and we confess to you that at times, because just the way our world is, with all kinds of name-calling, like Christians are homophobic, or they're anti-this, or they're anti-that, we often feel really squeezed. And we just come this morning realizing that we're part of a grand narrative. We know what's going to happen at the end of the story. We know that all along the way in your story, people have opposed you and they've opposed your people. And yet, in the midst of that story, people like myself and Chris and others have found life with you. And so we just thank you, Lord, that we've been called on this journey, and we're so thankful for it, Lord. We sometimes feel sad at times being Christians and hiding it. But now we realize that we're part of a story that is significant and will not fail. Your plan, Lord, we admit, is unstoppable. You will redeem your people, the people that you are calling, and you will be victor over all the forces that oppose you. Thank you, Lord, for sending Jesus to be the greatest plus sign in history for humanity. And Lord, as we look around, we see that there is a lot of pain in our world. We see that in British Columbia, about 4 people die every day from the opioid crisis. We see so many others are given to various other addictions. We see that even billionaires, Lord, are in bondage to sex and acting as pedophiles. We see, Lord, that it doesn't matter whether they're a prince, they're involved in this kind of activity. So when we look around at the world and see what's going on, and even in the emptiness of our neighbors through divorce and trying to find joy in so many things, whether it's travel or a life of leisure, we realize it just actually leaves us empty. And you've been there all along saying to us, lean on me. I have the words of life. You need me. I will fill you by my Holy Spirit. I will fill you up and send you out. Lord, help us to believe you. Help us to believe you that there are people out there who are seeking you, people of peace. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would start showing us who those people are. You would give us the faith to pray, okay, God, I'm not so close to you right now. I've got nothing to say, but fill me by your Spirit. I will join you. Fill me by your Spirit. I confess to you all the ways I'm going away from you, but fill me with your life so I can be life to other people. And Lord, we just pray you start opening up our minds to people around us who are asking spiritual questions without asking what seems like a spiritually posed question. We pray you would make us alert to that. And we know it doesn't matter whether we're extroverts or introverts. You use all of us. So our prayer, Lord, is not some kind of project, but our prayer is tied to your mission of love, to call people and make them greater than they can ever be, to give them a life rooted in you in the midst of struggling times. So we just commit ourselves to you, Lord. We ask you, Lord, again, as you did with the early church, fill us with your Spirit, Lord.
Send your spirit so it will melt away every other priority. And Lord, as we do your work, we will be blessed like Abram, and we will be a blessing. And that is what we pray for, to live that deeper life with you, on mission with you, the only purpose that will ever last, Lord. And so we just pray for that. Send your spirit, Lord. Renew us as a people, and then continue to send us out as a people. As Jesus said, as the Father sent me, so I send you. So Lord, send us out. Send us out as your loving ambassadors, calling people to seek the one they don't know they're seeking. In Jesus' name. Amen. Going to invite the band up.
I don't think we're going to do a closing song.
Okay. Right. Do you want me to sing? I could close out.
I don't know if anybody else wants you to sing, maybe. But so we're going to send you guys out. But this, what this is an invitation. It's an invitation to pay attention. And so we invite you to put that in your wallet. Maybe ask some other people around here, you know, maybe next week, or, you know, you got that in your wallet. How's it going? Praying for it. So that we can actually hold each other accountable. Because otherwise we just hear another good word and go, yep, I agree, but we don't do anything with it. And we want to be a people who not just hear the word, but do the word. So go. You are sent. You are empowered by the Holy Spirit to join God on mission. Have a great week.